Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 and one more, welcome everybody to the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love devolve into nothing but BS. That is bait and switch. We are here not to bait and switch our BS people. We're here to love, to show love, to live love, to be love, to demonstrate love. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, and that is the demonstration of love. Well, we do a few things here routinely, not as a routine, but as a means of keeping my sight clear, my target in front of me, the bullseye that I shoot at, that I try to hit every time we're here. And that is, first of all, we start with Love's Creed. It's something I wrote many years ago as a New Year's resolution, but now I've edited it over many times over the years and come down to Love's Creed. And I find it to be a pretty stabilizing force, along with something else that we do here now regularly, and that is the Lord's Prayer, which we'll do after the Love's Creed. So I appreciate you coming here and giving me a half an hour of your life and time. I promise not to waste it. And so to that end, let's shout out the Love's Creed. I'll give it to you in total. Then I'll ask you to just repeat after me. So right now, while this is broadcasting, it is the weekend of the 50th anniversary of my wife and me being in wedded bliss. Sometimes it was bliss, sometimes it was a blast, sometimes it was boring, sometimes we didn't know what to do with each other. I'm just thankful Ginger didn't drop me off a cliff somewhere because of my thick-headedness. But we love each other, and we've held in together for 50 years. We're, I guess, now a dying breed, but happy to be a dying breed. I want to be a living breed for a few more days. But anyway, as a nervous bride and groom would be standing at their marriage altar, I'm going to give you Love's Creed as a vow, all right? I'll give it to you in total to start with. Then I'll ask you to repeat after me and share your heart with yourself. If you're all alone, say it to yourself so you can hear the promises you're making. Here it is, Love's Creed in total. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, as I said earlier, I'm going to give it to you in short bursts as a marriage official would give to a nervous bride and groom, and have you repeat after me. So here we go. Repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. If you'd like a copy of that, you could email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's Randy Dean Ministries, all one word, all lowercase letters, at Gmail. I'd be happy to send you a copy. And no, I'm not developing some kind of fundraising list that I can pester you and bug you. No. If you'd like to help support us, you can do so. My wife will give you instructions on how to do that at the end of the broadcast. But listen, I'm not BSing you here. I'm trying my level best and have now for over 4 years on this broadcast to call you to the highest virtue and value of the human race, and that is the virtue and the value of love. You know, a minute ago I told you that I was a nervous groom at my wedding 50 years ago on this weekend. First wedding I ever went to was my own. I had never seen one, I didn't know what they did in weddings. I knew they did it in some kind of routine, but I didn't know what the routine was, and I was scared to death. I barely remember our ceremony, but I do remember we read 1 Corinthians 13 about the power of love, and it did stick with me. And so, to that end, this is one of those times where I'm asking you to repeat after me. And speaking of, let's do the Lord's Prayer. It's such a valuable treasure. It's such a gem. It's such a powerful, just a powerful tool to hold on to in daily life. I pray it every day. It's something that keeps me steady, keeps my mind anchored in the rush and in the weirdness of our world. I am committed to the principles and the power of the Lord's Prayer. I pray with my eyes open. I see a few things along the way while I'm praying that I love seeing. I would urge you to give it a try. A couple times in the Gospels, Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven and he looked up into heaven. It was like he was expecting something, right? Well, why wouldn't he? At his own baptism, a dove came down and lit upon him. Well, why wouldn't he look up into heaven and expect some kind of beautiful miracle to show up and to demonstrate confirmation of his heart? So, I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer. If you know it, join me. If you don't, just agree with me. Hang in there with me. I'll carry you along in this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Learn to just throw your arms around that, throw your heart around those words. They are loaded with power, and millions of people for 2,000 years have prayed that prayer. So if you're looking for a prayer that would stand in agreement with the very mind and thoughts of Jesus, well, there it is. If you're looking for a prayer that would stand in agreement with people all over the world, well, there it is, the Lord's Prayer. It's a treasure waiting for you to open it up and enjoy the beauty therein. Well, I told you I wanted to talk to you today about the demonstration of love, how love is demonstrated. Well, again, I'm waxing a little sentimental here today about my own wedding and marriage to Ginger, my beloved bride for 50 years. We got married on the day that Richard Nixon left office, August 9th, 1974. While the world seemed to be blowing up, we were just a couple of kids in love. I was the ripe old age of 21, and she was 19. Just a couple of kids. I can't give you much advice except just keep demonstrating love for one another. And we did, and we have, and we still do. Not a day goes by but what Ginger and I look each other in the eyes, and we say, "I love you." Something we do here every time I'm with you for the No BS Bishop. But in the demonstration of love, it's you know, 50 years of love is not a sprint, that's not a ping pong game. I'm going to tell you, that's a rugby match. that's a hard tackle football match. It takes all kinds of blood, sweat, and tears to make love last for 50 years. You're not going to just wake up one morning and suddenly be and suddenly have magic dust and pixie dust and unicorns dancing around. No, that is not how love works. Love works in a whole lot of other ways that are hard and difficult and worth the sacrifice. This week I experienced something I want to relate to you that really set the tone and really matches the tone, I should say, of my own life. I had read a Facebook post by a friend of mine by the name of Mercy Aiken, and she had told a story of sitting on a park bench in a town square somewhere out west, and she was just there to enjoy the pigeons and throw them some little remnants of crackers and whatnot. And it's a beautiful little town square with a fountain in the middle. But she said that day she was there reading a book about a more Christ-like God by a man by the name of Brad Jerzak, a great author. I'd recommend Brad to you on any of his books. But anyway, she's reading Brad Jerzak's book about a more Christ-like God, and she was really being warmed by the truths and finding herself just floating into the stories that were told there. And she said at one point along the way, she became aware of this bad body odor not far from her, and she knew it wasn't her, but she turned to her right, and there was a homeless man laying on another park bench not far away, and little breeze was carrying the stench of this man's dirty body and his debilitated life. And she was smelling it, and she remembered whispering to herself, "Oh, I wish he'd just leave. He stinks so bad." Well, she continued to read her book about how God in Christ was reconciling the world, and how that when we see the least of these, we're possibly seeing Jesus. Read a scripture in there that said, "If you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me." And she never made the connection in that moment of that homeless man next to her until a young lad on a skateboard came rolling by, which caught her attention because he was good, and he stopped right in front of this homeless man on the park bench next to her. And this skateboard kid reached in his pocket and handed this man a nutritious power bar, is what I call them, just a nutrient bar, just something to chew on. He said, "Here you go, sir. I bet you haven't had anything to eat." And the homeless man sat up and he took it and he said, "Thank you." And skateboard kid rolled on. And here Mercy was thinking, "Oh my goodness, that was beautiful." Well, and then in a few minutes, the skateboard kid came back. And this time he had a bottle of water and some other stuff. And he gave it to this homeless man. And he said, "Here you go. I bet you need something to wash that down with." Well, Mercy said she suddenly became so convicted of her own hardness of heart, and she realized this kid on a skateboard was showing her what you do when you want to really demonstrate love. And she thought to herself, who knows but what that homeless man is Christ in disguise. Mother Teresa said one time, the poor are Jesus in disguise. And Jesus himself said, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it for me. If you fed the poor, if you visited the prisoner, if you came to the sick, you've done it unto me. Well, she was suddenly absolutely torn of heart. She realized here she's reading a book about Jesus, and here is this homeless man who might very well be Jesus in disguise. Well, she dug around in her backpack and she found a few more items of food that she had put in there for herself for later, just in case she got hungry. And of course, we don't get hungry. We just crave food. Most of us don't get hungry, but that homeless man was hungry. Anyway, so she got up and went over to the man and gave him some of the stuff she had in her backpack. And he thanked her. He was very gracious with her. And she thanked him for waking her up. So here's my story. I read that one morning this week, and it struck me so powerfully. I thought, I need to pay more attention. Here I am, the No BS Bishop, alive to love on the radio and on Facebook Live, and I'm telling people how to love people that are out there that might be Jesus in disguise, and I need to be more attentive. Well, later in that morning, I just thought, I'm going to pay more attention to my surroundings, and I had run some errands. And on my way, I stopped at a gas station. As I drove into the parking lot of this gas station, I noticed this frail, tiny little older woman with a cane just barely moving along. And it was pouring rain and chilly out. And I saw her stop a couple of patrons who were walking in and out of the doors. And they kind of shrugged their shoulders and held the door for her, but nobody helped her. And she went into the gas station store. And there I was, and after a little bit, then I went into the store, and there this lady was, standing very frail, very wet, and she was talking to the store manager. Well, I had to check out, and so as I was, I intentionally tuned into her conversation with the store manager, and I could hear her asking about how to get home. Well, I just butted in. I said, I'm sorry, I couldn't help but overhear what's happening. Are you okay? Are you lost? And the manager looked at me with a puzzled look and smiled and said, yeah, she's lost. And the little lady said to me, yes, I don't know how to get home. Well, the manager told me, says, yeah, she stopped in here at 11:30. It was at that time, oh, I forget what time it was. It was something like 3 or 3:30, something like that. She said she was in here at 11:30 and she didn't have money for gas, so we paid for her gas tank. And she's been out driving around lost all day. And I looked at the lady and I said, oh, ma'am, do you know what your home address is? And she knew it right away off the top of her head, even though I could tell she was mentally and geographically lost. It turns out I found out she's 85 and some of her mental faculties were starting to slip away. Well, she knew her address, and I wrote it down. I put it into my GPS on my phone, and I said, if I wrote out the directions, could you get home? Do you have enough gas? And she said, I think so. And then suddenly it struck me. Here's Jesus in disguise in this frail little 85-year-old lady. And so I put my pen and paper down, and I decided, I'm going to serve Jesus and this little lady. I said, ma'am, my name is Randy. And she smiled and she said, my son's name is Randy. I said, really? I said, where does he live? And she said, well, he died several years ago in his 40s. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. And I said, well, do you have any other family? She said, no, I don't. She said, I'm all alone. So I said, here's what I'm going to do for you. I looked at my GPS and I could see that her home was 70 miles away from where we were. She'd been just driving aimlessly around all day long. I said, ma'am, here's what I want to offer you. I want to call my wife and have her meet us here. And if you don't mind, I want to drive your car and I'm going to take you home. And she said, and she was so, so grateful. She said, would you do that for me, really? I said, yes, ma'am, I would. So, long story short, my wife showed up at the, I called my wife, she showed up at the gas station. I introduced her to this lady's name, who was Lila. And I got in Lila's car, and I saw that Lila's car had been sideswiped very freshly. And I said, Lila, what happened to your rearview mirror? And she said, oh, a truck bumped up into me. And I put two and two together. I realized, no, you've been lost, and you probably had an accident that you didn't stop for. Well, we got in the car. I got her rested and settled in, and I turned the heat on in the car. You know, it's early August. Got the heat going, and anyway, we took off for her home, 70 miles away. And I just chatted with her the whole time, heard her life story, and she cussed like a sailor, and that's okay. It doesn't bother me. I'm not worried about that. And I just decided I'm going to love this lady right here for who she is, and I'm going to see Jesus in disguise sitting in this car. She told me a lot of her life story. I told her a little bit about mine, but I just kept asking her questions about all of the ups and downs of her life. Eventually, we got to her little trailer park home. And when we pulled up in there, there were two or three neighbors that saw her car come in, and they came over and they said, "Oh my, Lila, are you okay?" And she said, "Yeah, this sweet man brought me home." And they both came to me and said, "Oh, thank you. We've been worried sick about her. She's been gone since sunrise this morning." Well, at that time, it was about 5:30. And I said, "Well, I hope you as a neighbor, good neighbors, will help her find a way to put this car away. She doesn't need to be driving around." And they said, "Yep, we will. We promise." We exchanged some other pleasantries and went about our way. And my wife and I talked on the way home. And I just told her, I said, "I needed that. I needed that because it brought to me the demonstration of love in its total. I discovered that that lady was Jesus just looking for a way home. That lady was Jesus in disguise just looking for me because that morning I had prayed, 'Lord, give me eyes to see my surroundings.' And lo and behold, when I pulled up at that gas station that morning, I saw Lila. Before I knew her name and before I knew her circumstances, I saw two or three people just walking by her, not being rude, but not being helpful at all either. And this poor little lady was, I'm guaranteeing you, and she was soaking wet. I don't think she weighed more than 95 pounds soaking wet. So my story to you here today is the demonstration of love. Love means nothing until it is demonstrated. Love is just a concept. It's just a philosophy unless we learn to demonstrate it in human flesh, to look at every person as the potential of Christ in disguise, to love them as we would love Jesus. I remember one time many years ago going to a Catholic hospital and seeing on the placards around the hallways of that hospital the motto that said, "We serve our patients as we would serve Christ if he was in one of our bedroom hospital beds." I realized in that little statement that I'm sure their training for every new janitor, every new cafeteria worker, every new doctor, every new nurse, every new X-ray technician, I knew in that moment that that hospital had a goal, and I would like to hope and believe that they really carried it out, that when you walked in there in whatever condition you were, however poor or however rich you were, that hospital received you as if they were receiving Jesus himself. Mother Teresa said, as I quoted earlier, that every poor person, every hungry child, every destitute somebody on the streets of Calcutta, they are Jesus in disguise. She would have people come to serve and work there in Calcutta. And she had another statement during that time. And she said, "You need to find your own Calcutta." And what she meant by that was to find Jesus in disguise all around you and to love them as you would love Jesus. I don't think Jesus ever called us to worship him. I think Jesus called us to love him and follow him. To follow him and to follow him into the purpose, the principle, and the demonstration of love. Because Jesus himself said, "By this one thing, all the law and the prophets are hanging. This one command is love." Jesus also said, "By this one thing, everyone will know you are my disciples indeed, if you have love for one another." And he wasn't just talking about the one another you sit with in the pews. He was talking about the one another that you sit with on park benches that sometimes you hold your nose because that homeless person stinks so bad. And who knows what that homeless person is? Simply Jesus in disguise. You know, if we could see a film reel of our life and realize we went into church and we tried to worship Jesus, sing songs and clap our hands or raise our hands or say the liturgies or the prayers, and we always wondered where Jesus was in moments like that, I would propose that Jesus might very well have been in the parking lot of that church as a homeless person, as a person like Lila, who was lost, just trying to find her way home. And who knows what Jesus was in Lila, just finding his way home. And Jesus needed Randy. Jesus needs you to demonstrate love, to show love in tangible, powerful purposes, to recognize that in every person you meet, the possibility of Christ in the flesh is right there. Well, I've got to bring this in for a landing today, and I hope you've been challenged. I know I have been this week, and I want to live this kind of life where love is my highest value, and not just in my words, but in my demonstration, in my actions, in my lifestyle. Biggest mistake we make in life is thinking we have time. So I challenge you, be present, be kind, love more, love now. Well, let me lead you in a practice to calm your soul. And first is, I want to invite you to breathe. Breathe deeply. Inhale the gratitude of being alive, and then exhale the three most magical, charmed, and holy words in the human language. When you exhale, say, I love you. All right? On the count of three, take a deep breath and hold it tight. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. I love you. Well, that leads me to the second practice we do here every No BS Bishop Alive to Love, and that is practice saying, I love you. Oh yeah, it's awkward, it's weird, it's startling, it'll rattle you, it'll rattle the person you say it to. And by the way, I said it to Lila just before we left her home. I held her by the shoulders, and I said, Lila, look me in the eyes. And she was a little concerned, but she looked at me. I said, Lila, I love you. And she smiled, and she said, well, I love you too. And then my wife, who was in our car, looked out the window, and she said, Lila, I love you. Now, I want to challenge you. Go find somebody. Say that. Say those three charmed, holy, magical words, and you'll light their eyes up, or you might startle them or scare them. I don't know, but here's the point. Maybe you need to scare yourself into action. Maybe we all need to be terrified into action and demonstration of the power of love. We're living in a rancorous, partisan, polarized society right now. And our country, our culture, our world needs people who are willing to demonstrate love with tangible courage, to get out there and to do something beautiful. Mother Teresa said it this way, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Now, Randy Dean says it this way, now get up and do something beautiful, because, oh, baby, ugly is getting done to death. It's time for people of love to rise and shine, being the love incarnate of God Himself in our words, our deeds, our actions, our soul, our spirit, and our radiance everywhere we go. Thanks so much for being here with me for today's episode of the No BS Bishop Alive to Love. I want you to hear me say it and imagine my eyes looking right into your eyes. I love you. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.